You'll see in the bulletin that the scripture reading from the epistles is going to be from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3 and 4. This is a preface to a letter sent to people who the writer in the Pauline tradition thinks have done a great job of being church with one another. They've cared for one another, they've worked with one another, they've endured trouble together. He writes, "We will always thank God for you and remember you in our prayers, calling to mind before our God how you proved your faith by your actions, labored in love, and showed constancy of hope in our Savior Jesus Christ. We know, beloved of God, that you have been called." This summer, we are continuing the theme of Pentecost. Pentecost Sunday was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. And on Pentecost, we remember the story of the church awakening to the presence of God in her midst. That we don't have to wait for something else to happen before we can live out the goodness of God we knew in Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus is with us. The Spirit of Jesus is creating us anew. And so this summer, we're just going to continue that theme of being created anew and the recognition that God's Spirit is with us and among us, and talk about, through the summer, the fruits of the Spirit. But when I was thinking about this, and Adrian and I were talking about this theme, you know, as soon as I hear the phrase, the fruits of the Spirit, sort of awkward things pop into my mind. And I was at a big box store this week getting something I needed for church. I don't like to shop in this particular store, but I was in there and saw a big plaque hanging on the wall, and it had the fruits of the Spirit written on it, you know, the ones that are listed here in the first part of the bulletin. Of course, the plaque had it in King James English, and the plaque, I felt it, and it felt kind of like it was that compressed plastic product, and I turned it around, sure enough, you know, made in China. And I thought to myself, how funny it is to imagine Chinese workers stamping out the King James Version of the fruits of the Spirit on an assembly line so that we could put this kitsch up in our houses. And I think to myself, you know, that is the sort of thing that to me makes reading the fruits of the Spirit go in one ear and out the other. I've heard it so long. Love, joy, peace, faithfulness. They'd roll off of your tongue as if it was, you know, something that you would find in the Chinese Christian junk stores called Christian bookstores out there. I shouldn't say that. That's terrible. Okay. But anyway, so I thought instead of doing the traditional fruits of the Spirit this year, let's just change them up a little bit and do the unofficial fruits of the Spirit. So we all kind of know the official fruits of the Spirit, but there are other ways that we know God is at work within us. If we look at a person's life, we can say, wow, that's the sacred. I can see that in the person's life. And to me, I know that that is an evidence of the Spirit. So when I read this passage from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as soon as I read it, I thought, ooh, that is an evidence of being rooted in the Spirit. This passage that says, I call to mind how you proved your faith by your actions. You labored in love. You showed constancy of hope. And I thought about those phrases. You proved your faith by your action. You labored in love and showed constancy of hope. And that reminded me of the sermon title that you can see there. Active serenity, and laboring love, and grounded positivity. And then I thought to myself, what better adjectives to describe Joanna Samuelson, because I see some of these things in Joanna, and we've appreciated having Joanna here for the last couple of years. Joanna, as many of you know, is a seminary student at Trinity Lutheran Seminary, and usually seminary interns stay at a church for about a year. We were really blessed to have Joanna willing enough to stay with us for 2 years and contribute here, and we've learned a lot from Joanna's presence with us and among us. And these evidences, these unofficial fruits of the Spirit, reminded me a little bit of her time with us. You proved your faith by your actions, the text says. Faith is an interesting word, isn't it? It's one of those Christian words that we don't think about much because we hear it so often. But the word in the New Testament is often pistis. It refers primarily to trust. And so a lot of us, when we think about faith, we think of faith in terms of propositional belief. So this is the church's confession of faith, for instance. What you're saying when you're saying this is our confession of faith, these are our confession of what we believe. And so we confuse the word faith there with propositional belief or assent to propositional beliefs. But the root word in the New Testament, pistis, actually refers to trust and reliance. So what the author here is saying is that you are a people of trust. You are a people of reliance. You're at ease in the world. And your ease is proven by the things that you do, how you act. Your serenity might be a modern word for that. Your serenity is active. And that is an evidence of God's Spirit being alive in your life. Joanna is a person who I think of when I think of this because, you know, she's been involved in the Wellsprings program for a long time and is an experienced spiritual director. And I've enjoyed getting to know Joanna and seeing her passion for spirituality. Sometimes in our progressive churches, and I was talking just to Chelsea about this morning, there's a distinction between having a spiritual life and being active in the community, and that those are sort of put against one another sometimes, as if you need to choose one or the other. We can choose to have a spiritual life and a deep relationship and an immediate connection to God, or we can be active in the world. And what we're hearing suggested in this passage is that a sign of the sacred, of the Holy Spirit in a person's life is when you can see their serenity activated, when you can see their trust, their connection, their deep spirituality being activated in work in the world. So in the same way, you know, even though Joanna is concerned with prayer and has often talked to us about prayer and deepening our spiritual lives as she's been with us, she's also one of those people who has discovered where her unique talents and gifts lie, and she's invested herself in action in those areas. So I know, for example, that you've been super involved in food justice advocacy in the local area and also in Washington, D.C. with different organizations. Joanna has really sunk herself into work with the Mid-Ohio Food Bank's monthly market days, something that happens in Columbus, where how many tons? 10,000 pounds, 5 tons of food every month is distributed to people in need in Columbus. An example of a person who can have a deep spiritual life and also activate it in a way that makes sense for their particular spiritual journey, their set of skills, their sort of capacities, to have found that thing and to be able to activate that faith in their life. With 5 kids at home and being a seminary student at the same time, I think that's awesome. An inspirited life, a life in the spirit, is a both and kind of life, not either spiritually centered and grounded or active in service to others in the world, but both spiritually centered and grounded and active in service to others in the world. And this second little phrase, labored in love, is interesting. The word labor there in the New Testament is kapos, and it means intense work filled with trouble and toil. Now, there's another Greek word for work, but this is labor. Think about the difference between work and labor. You've labored in love, the writer says, and this is a sign of the evidence of the Spirit in your life. It's not that you just love people, but you invest yourself in trouble and toil because you love someone. When the author of this little letter sees people doing that in his audience, he says, the Spirit is alive within you. And think about that in our lives. Do we labor in order to share the love that we have with other people? Do we really invest ourselves in it? Do we really work hard at it? That's the kind of life that's an inspirited kind of life. And I was thinking to myself this week about Joanna as she's been here. She's not just worked, she's done some intense work at the church. I think when we first talked about having Joanna come to the congregation, our contract with her was that she would I work for 6 hours a week. Well, that's turned out to be kind of ridiculous. She's here for 4 hours a week just on Sundays. Her work with us and amongst us has been really not just work, but labor. It's been intense. She's always been here well before 9 a.m. behind the scenes, making sure things are ready for us on Sunday mornings. And even today, she walked in so early. I said, "Joanna, you're not even doing anything today. You're ungodly early." She's really labored. When there was something to do, Joanna's one of those people in the church that just does it. You know, is there no food for this church event this week? That's okay, I'll do it, she says. I'll bring it. Is there nobody to refresh that bulletin board? That's fine, I'll do it. How about we do something like a Thanksgiving agape meal? Is there anybody to plan that? Nope, well, I'll do that. What about Christmas caroling? Who's planning Christmas caroling? Well, nobody really does it. I'll do that. What about the Middlers? Is there any program for Middlers? Is anybody handling the Middlers class on Sunday mornings? No. That's fine. I'll do that, she says. So I know she's worked way more than 6 hours a week at our congregation. Way more. With living 30 minutes away, and being as faithful as she had, hardly ever missing. It's not just work, it's been labor. And I remember sometimes in the winter, I would call her up and I'd say, "Hey, you know, we've got weather advisories out there. The roads are bad, don't come." All of a sudden, I get to church and there's Joanna. She's like the Pony Express. No holding her back. Wind, sleet, rain, snow, it doesn't matter. Joanna's going to church most of the time. So we honor you, Joanna, for the labor that you've invested in loving of this congregation and working with people here. And many of you know of Joanna's pastoral love for us. So as I was talking to many of you, as we were trying to think of some going away tokens for Joanna about the things that you remember, many people not only said kindness, as I shared with the kids this morning, but a real sense of empathy and connection with people. She's been a wonderful pastoral presence in our church. A labor of love. And it's true what they say, that churches can't survive without love, and that is absolutely right. But as I was thinking about it this week, it may be more true to say that churches can't really thrive without people who are willing to labor in their love. Now, loving is okay, but without that kind of labor of people who are willing to endure a little trouble and toil and going out of their way for the good of others, our churches are not going to survive. And it's that laboring love that keeps us fresh and alive to new possibilities. And then this last thing shows constancy of, you have shown constancy of hope in our Savior Jesus Christ. Hope, another one of those words that sort of loses its ring for much use. And I thought about this, what does it mean to be constant in hope? To have a positive future orientation built on an absolute confidence. In the Christian world, we talk about the absolute confidence in Jesus' mission and vision. An absolute confidence that we are all God's beloved children, that we all deserve love and honor and peace and justice, and that we all have something to honor. When a person is grounded in that confidence in the message of Jesus, it creates a positive future orientation amongst us. Because when we look at people, we don't see the negatives that all of us carry around with us. We see the positives. And, you know, I was thinking to myself, how many of you know folks who are convinced that the future, whether it be the future of their relationship or the future of their family or their own personal future or the future of their community or the future of the world, is going to be bad or horrible or intolerable? It's going to be in decline. Do you enjoy being around those kind of people? And my answer is not really. They drain me. They drain the energy out of me. The people I enjoy being around and the people who, after I'm around them, I feel like I was in the presence of God are people who are grounded in positivity, who recognize that in each human heart, in this very place, in each human heart, there is the sacred that can be activated for the good of the world, that there's so much potential here, that there's so much potential among us, that all we have to do is draw together to gather our spirit to see a brighter future and the future that God envisions. This, too, is one of the signs of the sacred in human life. How do we root ourselves in the positive, in that potential for flourishing without being Pollyanna-ish? You know, in our tradition, we say we're rooted and grounded in the message and mission of Jesus, this conviction that all people are God's beloved children and have something to share. And we've seen that in Joanna's ministry among us. Joanna has done so much here at the church to involve people in various activities of the church. I sometimes have been kind of amazed. She's tried to get a lot more people involved in worship and in small groups and in special programs of the church to have more gifts involved, more voices involved, more hands involved, more ideas coming into the mix, more engagement from people. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I just reflect on this. How many of you in the past 2 years have done something for the first time here at UCG because Joanna asked you to do it? Some people want to raise their hands, right? Yeah. Yes, exactly. And so this is a sign of the sacred amongst us. When we have people amongst us who are saints, who can see the potential that we live with every day, and instead of seeing the negatives and the challenges and the things that might drag us down, to say there's so much that can carry us forward because we're part of God's beloved family. So I want to just end today with this scripture once again as a call to all of us, sort of some unofficial fruits of the Spirit. Where do you see them in your own life? When we prove our faith by our actions, when we have active serenity, when we labor in love, not just work at it, but labor at it, and where we show a constancy of hope or a grounded positivity that calls us and all creation forward into a better future. Let's think about that with blessing and thanksgiving as we pray. Oh God, we thank you for the gifts of your Spirit, for signs of your life in the world. We thank you for people who are committed to love and peace and justice and who are willing to work for that. People who have found their place. Oh God, may we find our places as we work to serve you and to serve one another, as we take up our task of making this a place of spiritual oasis and respite in a world that needs so much care. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.